Viva Cristo Re!
Viva!
Cuando pensamos en un rey terrenal típico, solemos pensar en las cosas que podría tener. Por ejemplo, un país que podría gobernar sin importar cuán grande o pequeño sea. Un gran castillo donde podría vivir. Un corte de fieles que lo adoran a su alrededor. Ropas reales que podría vestir. Un gran trono donde podría sentarse. Y lo más importante, cada vez que de una orden, todos los escuchan y su pueblo lo aclama. Si pensamos en la realeza de Jesús, en esta solemnidad de Cristo Rey, Jesús parece no tener casi ninguna de estas cosas. De hecho, casi parece ser lo opuesto a lo que podríamos considerar un rey terrenal. Nació en la pobreza. Viaja en un lugar a otro como predicador itinerante. En la cruz, donde está completando su obra salvadora, la gente le grita y se burla de él. En lugar de la ropa de un rey, está despojado de todo. De hecho, en la cúspide de poder de Jesús, parece que no tiene poder. Esto se debe a que la autoridad de Jesús no proviene de una aceptación terrenal por parte del pueblo, sino que su poder es divino. Proviene del hecho de que Él es el Hijo de Dios. El hombre que está siendo crucificado es el Rey de los cielos y de la tierra. Su autoridad se extiende sobre todo el universo. So when we think about a typical earthly king, we think about the things that they might have, a country that they might rule, a large castle that they might live in, a court of adoring people around them, regal clothes they might wear, a big throne that they might sit on. Most importantly, when he gives a command, everyone listens to it. And a lot of times they might even cheer him on too. But if we think about the kingship of Jesus on this solemnity of Christ, the King of the universe, Jesus seems to have almost none of these things. It seems the opposite, actually. He's born into poverty, travels from place to place. At the cross, where he is completing his saving action, people are yelling at him and mocking him. And rather than wearing the clothes of a king, he's stripped of everything. In fact, at the height of his power, Jesus looks like he has no power. Because that authority doesn't come from the acceptance of the people, but it comes from his authority as the Son of God, the King of heaven and earth. Nuestra visión de un rey proviene de nuestra percepción terrenal, de reyes terrenales caídos y quebrantados por el pecado. Ese tipo de rey generalmente usan su autoridad absoluta para controlar a la gente. Pero lo que un rey debe hacer, y los mejores reyes hacen, es santificarse por su pueblo. Deben estar dispuestos a dar su vida por ellos. También deben estar dispuestos a extender su misericordia a otros que han obrado mal. Jesús está cumpliendo su misión como rey. Nació del linaje de David, el rey de Israel. Él es el pastor y comandante del que habla nuestra primera lectura. Él reúne a los perdidos y nos conduce a la salvación. Para cumplir esa misión, se sacrifica en la cruz por nosotros, lo cual también es un acto sacerdotal. En la cruz, se hace pecado quien no conocía el pecado. Se ofrece por la salvación del mundo, que es aparte de su reino. Como dice San Pablo, nos hace la paz mediante la sangre que derramó en la cruz. Nos extiende su misericordia. La gente de la multitud no comprende su acción salvador. Le dicen que se salve a sí mismo y a nosotros, burlándose de él. Sin embargo, no comprenden que precisamente de lo que se burlan es la acción salvadora que él realiza. El hombre que lo entiende es el criminal, el buen ladrón, que le pide a Jesús que se acuerde de él cuando venga a su reino. Jesús responde: hoy estará con él en el paraíso. So our view of a king, it often comes from this earthly perception that we have of kings, which are usually who are fallen and broken. And a lot of times they use their absolute authority to really control people. But what a king should do, or the best kings usually do, is they are willing to sacrifice for their people. They're willing to give up their life for them and to extend their mercy to others. And Jesus is fulfilling his mission as a king. He's born of the line of David, the king of Israel. He is the shepherd and commander, as our first reading talks about. He gathers the lost. He leads them to salvation. And to fulfill that mission, he sacrifices himself on the cross for us, which is also a kingly act, but it's also a priestly act as well. On the cross, he becomes sin who did not know sin. He offers himself for the salvation of the world, which is part of his kingdom. As St. Paul says, he makes peace through the blood of his blood, for the blood of his cross, and he extends his mercy to us. But the crowd, ironically, they don't understand this saving action. They tell him to save himself and us by jeering at him. They don't understand the very thing that they are mocking is the saving action that he is performing. And the only man who seems to understand this is the criminal, the good thief, as he's often referred to, who asks Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus responds, today you will be with me in paradise. Entonces, ¿reconocemos la acción salvadora de Cristo en nuestras vidas? Podemos decir, viva Cristo Rey, pero ¿comprendemos de corazón que otra vez de la cruz Jesús nos salva? La cruz es algo silencioso. Al igual de la multitud del Evangelio, no nos damos cuenta de lo que está haciendo. Pensemos en el sufrimiento silencioso que soportamos en nuestras vidas, o en la recepción habitual de los sacramentos como la Sagrada Eucaristía, donde quizá no nos demos cuenta de lo que sucede nada, pero en realidad suceden muchas cosas espiritualmente que no vemos. Podemos tener la actitud de la multitud, cuestionando a Jesús y el plan de Dios, preguntándose realmente si Dios está obrando. O podemos tener la actitud del buen ladrón, simplemente estando abiertos a la obra salvadora que Dios está realizando. Eso es lo que significa hacer de Jesús el Rey de nuestras vidas. Estar abiertos a su gracia, aunque no la comprendamos del todo. So do we recognize the saving action of Jesus in our lives? We can say, Viva Cristo Rey, all we want. But do we really comprehend with our hearts that through the cross, Jesus saves us? And the cross, it's actually a very quiet thing when you think about it. Like the crowd in the gospel, we often don't notice what Jesus is doing. And we can, but often we endure quiet suffering in our lives, whether that's interior or exterior. Or think about the normal reception of the sacraments, that habitual reception of the sacraments, especially in the Holy Eucharist, where many times we don't notice anything is happening. Actually, a lot is happening that we don't see because of God's grace. But we can have that attitude of the crowd, questioning Jesus and questioning God's plan and really wondering, is God working? Or do we have the attitude of the good thief who's just open? He recognizes and sees Jesus, that God is doing something. That's what it means to make Jesus the king of our lives, to be open to his grace and to be aware of his presence, even if we don't fully understand it. Because if we're open, then we can hear the Lord say, today you will be with me in paradise. Porque si estamos abiertos, podemos escuchar al Señor decir, hoy estarás conmigo en el paraíso.